look at me, you may think you see who I really am.
I've heard a great deal about you, Mulan.
But you never know me.
You took your father's armor.
Every day, it's as if I play a part.
Ran away from home, impersonated a soldier.
Now I see, if I wear a mask, I can fool the world. But I cannot fool my heart.
Endangered the lives of thousands of men.
Who is that girl I see staring straight back at me?
And destroyed my palace.
When will my reflection show who I am inside?
But soon the world will know the great things you have done.
I am now in a world where I have to hide my heart.
The greatest gift and honor is having you for a daughter.
And we are live for another episode of the most phenomenal podcast ever on the planet. I am one of your hosts, the phenomenal one of MovieSpoilersPodcast.com.
This is Z from EOPodcast.com and TheFanCritic.com.
Are you sure you're with them anymore? Because I heard you got replaced by some dude named Vito.
From, I don't know. Well, I told him since I'm doing the show with you, and I'm especially with my site, I'm having other podcasts. Uh-huh. So I'm probably going to be too busy with that.
Okay.
So I kind of...
I was like, wow, this Vito guy, he doesn't remind me of Z, but he sounds like him. So I was...
So I kind of stepped back because my site has taken off big time, and I have to pretty much daily do stuff with it.
Mm-hmm. See, thank you. See, people know I'm not bullshit now. You have to do daily shit.
This is true, and I'm thinking since Throwback Tuesday is one of my top hits, I think it's true. TPO brings the hits.
Brings the hits. That's my new tagline. It says it on my business cards now on the back of it. Remember how on Social Network it says CEO, bitch, on the back of his card? Mine say, I bring the hits, bitch.
And you should have a picture of a girl's ass and be like, you're smiling next to it.
As my character is the owl. Yeah, of course.
That's right.
I'm always smiling and grinning and whatever, especially when it's, oh, ass and titties and ass.
Ass and titties.
See me in a strip club, that's a different story now.
I feel wrong talking about this due to the fact what movie we're going to be talking about.
I know, this movie is about uplifting women's spirit or whatever, and then we're talking about putting them in strip clubs. Put an ass in the back of them or whatever. But yes, Throwback Tuesday is a very hit, so I can see why you want to put all your focus onto that more.
Mm-hmm. So, because I'm not lying, I got over 3,000 hits in a... So,
well, this is more your show anyway. I'm just over. I'm just here anyway.
It's both of our shows. Shut up.
I'm just here. I'm just drinking.
You bring the hits.
I bring the hits.
You're drinking from our sponsor that I don't get shit from.
Yeah, I bring the hits. You bring the future. You see?
I see TPO dying an alcoholic death.
Smiling still.
with those big thumbs up and his business card on his chest. He's going to go to the pearly gates and be like, I bring the hits.
God's going to be like, who the fuck are you? I'm going to be like, you know who I am? I bring the hits, bitch.
People are going to want to come to heaven because I'm here.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to get that tattooed on my arms now along with I bring the hits. Along with TV on the side or whatever and stuff. So, so episode 11, yeah.
11. Yeah, 11 weeks of this. Wow.
Yeah, 11 weeks of this shit. Good lord. I can't believe we stayed so consistent with this.
And people love it.
They should love it, shit. You bring the future, I bring the hits, shit.
Well, I should see you bringing the hits.
Exactly. So it's the future hits. you know?
Well, hey, we have a, I mean, 11 weeks, we've been consistent and everything. We've pretty much made time for this. Now that I have now I have a real job now.
My Sundays are usually fucking around with the site anyway, so this is usually when I used to do recordings back in the day with Ms. Lana, so.
Who?
My Sundays are usually always the empty ones.
Who's that? I don't remember. I don't know who that is.
Some black bitch I used to work with. No,
is that what you call Leho?
Yeah, exactly. He's, that's what I call him. My black bottom bitch, you know?
I'm not going to lie. I listen to your Smurfs. I started laughing as soon as this started up and you're doing the song. And he just rants like, this wasn't a movie.
wasn't I believable?
You were. I could pitch you as a little ghetto Smurf.
Yeah, ghetto Smurf. Yeah, I'm like that robot from Transformers and shit. That's ghetto Smurf. I got a flannel shirt on, some Dickies. That flannel shirt's only half buttoned up or whatever, and then I got like a bandana on the head. So
gold fronts.
Exactly. Whatever. Gold teeth in there. Whatever. Looking like Denzel from Two Guns and everything. So yeah, you know, got my hands in a gangster pose. You know.
I listened to that. I started cracking up, laughing. I'm like, wow. I'm like, he did, and like, it was believable too. He's just going la 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 la, and I'm like, I can picture him being a Smurf now.
I'm grouchy Smurf.
But we're not talking about Smurfs today.
Yeah, we're talking about Mulan, the winner of the polling, which I'm not gonna lie, I forgot what the numbers were, but I remember
close.
Mulan winning by like two, if I recall. It was between Lion King and Mulan. We decided to go Disney animated style.
First, I mean, this is a. I don't think I've reviewed a cartoon movie, so.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, making the opening, I kind of like. It's going to be very hard to find sound clips for this movie. It was very hard to find stuff for this movie.
Because you know Disney like to put shit in that Disney vault.
Yeah, which I don't understand it, but whatever.
But you know what, I need to work at Disney to find that out. I want to know the reason why. But you know what it is? It's kind of like that thing on South Park. Remember that episode where Cartman had that amusement park?
Yeah.
I think it's like that. They only release it, or they only open up that vault so many years or whatever, that people go and rush out and go like, I have to have it, and they sell gangbusters, and then they lock that shit, and people are like, oh, I really want that, or whatever. They build themselves up for it.
And then you can just stream it online?
You can't stream some of the classics. But you can
like Cinderella and Snow White, stuff like that?
You can't stream the golden age of Disney, but you can mainstream. I think I told you, because you've never seen this movie before,
nope.
Right? I want to say that this was the first movie that branched off after the you know, your Snow White's Aladdin, after Aladdin and all that.
Okay, because I don't really remember much of Mulan. I actually had to look it up. It actually made bank. But
I didn't know that, to be honest. I didn't know too many people were fans of this movie because I really loved the movie. So I didn't know, but I never remembered what it was like in theaters or anything like that. So
if it has Disney, it's a Disney cartoon, you are guaranteed to make money. Tell me I'm lying.
No, you're not. And plus, this is the first film that I remember of Disney that had a strong female character in it that wasn't like a fucking princess or shit like that.
Yeah. I mean, wasn't the next one they did was Princess and the Frog?
I think. They did a Mulan 2 after that.
Which was direct to DVD.
Yeah, it was a straight to DVD, which I'm shocked that they had Eddie Murphy still in there, whatever, because I was like, at that time, I was like, what the fuck? They got Eddie Murphy to be on a direct to DVD.
Yeah, show. When did Shrek come out? Early 2000?
What was it?
Was it like early 2000s?
It had to be like.
I'm looking.
Yeah, look it up. I know Mulan 2 came out in 2004, or I think, or 2002 or 2004.
Well, Disney does that a lot. They really do a lot of, horrible direct DVDs. Mm-hmm. So, Shrek came out in 2001.
Oh, wow. Damn. I didn't know that movie was that fucking old.
I'm not seeing Mulan 2 on his Wikipedia page, unless he was not credited.
Oh. Maybe he wasn't credited or whatever. Yeah, Mulan 2, it actually furthers the adventures of her being a strong female. It's almost like goddamn Katniss from Hunger Games and shit. When I just saw that, whatever, I was just looking at that like, wow, everybody loves her in the town. The women are looking up to her. They're looking at her with respect and stuff. Like, oh, they want to learn from her. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, I mean, it was I'm not going to lie, it's predictable like every Disney movie. But the animation was amazing. Especially when they were panning up and showing, like, the soldiers and stuff. How they did that was so cool.
Yeah, so but this is your first time watching the movie, so I'm very interested to see what you say, because like you said, like The Lion King, Aladdin, all those movies, nobody really talks about Mulan, so I'm curious to get into to thought about this, and what you thought of and everything, because I think one reason why I think it probably isn't as memorable as the rest of those films is because the music isn't that memorable.
Yeah, because it took me forever to find a song, and then they had Christina Aguilera's Reflection, which is a good song. This is back before, you know, when she was thin. And they had
Naked.
What's that?
Before she was getting naked on a line, right?
I wish she would.
I think she did, dude.
I wish.
I'm going to my porn library here, you know.
And then they had Donny Osmond's I'll Make a Man Out of You.
Yeah, that one's actually, I think that was my favorite one. That was when they were in the training segment, right?
Yep.
They were singing
Yeah,
I love that song. That's my favorite song.
And that didn't sound like Osmond either.
No, it didn't or whatever. And I think the main song though is fighting. I forgot what the three dudes were singing. The fighting a woman worth fighting for. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, when they were walking.
They carried that song into the sequel as well.
Okay, yeah, when they were walking, so...
Yeah, exactly, but yeah, I think, even though, like, the music isn't bad in the movie, I like the music a lot, especially the one, what's the name of it again, with the training segment?
Make a Man Out of You?
Make a Man Out of You, whatever, I really love that song. I don't think it's as memorable as A Whole New World, or that chant in Lion
Circle
King.
Circle of Life.
Or no, yeah, those are just, like...
Well, look who did those songs.
Yeah, that too, I mean... They were big time artists. I mean, and hits at Everett Wells. So I mean, it's understandable. But I really love "Make a Man Out of You." That's like one of my.
It was actually really good. It was really good.
That montage is my shit right there. I love my shit for that part. I go like, wow, this is badass right here. I like it.
It was actually a really good song, and the score that they did was pretty good too. Mm-hmm. Which Disney, I think it goes animation and then music because their Disney movies are pretty much... That's why they don't release them... They release, a new one every couple years?
Yeah.
But they go 100% on every single detail of the movies.
They don't hold back on that animation style.
No. And that's why Disney... That's why Pixar is actually on their heels of taking over... Well, Pixar is a company of Disney. DreamWorks Animation.
Yeah, Pixar, Disney pretty much owns every goddamn... Disney doesn't even really have to make any movies anymore because they own, like, Pixar, Marvel, and all that shit, whatever. Disney could just sit back and distribute this shit. They don't really have to make anything these days.
But they still like their name on things, so...
Mm-hmm.
But...
And they still make hits or whatever, so,
They bring the hits.
They bring the hits, too. That's why I need to work there.
That could be on your resume. Just put TPO, I bring the hits. You're hired.
I can sit down with Mr. Mouse. Whatever. Oh, boys, well, tell me what you got here, Mr. P1 here. I'd be like, look, man, all you need to know is I bring the hits. I see. Well, slavery it is for you, man. You can bring some hits in that cotton field over there, you goddamn
damn. They'll lock you in the Disney vault.
Yeah, he locks me in Disney vault.
We're going to release you every 2 years.
Yeah, he puts me in there with Walt Disney himself and shit.
That's why you never piss off Disney. You get locked in a vault.
Exactly. Well, he's telling Walt, now you got some company in there, bitch.
That's funny.
That's racist, but funny. Yeah, he's like, yeah, I got those fucking crows from Dumbo sitting there with you singing while they watch you pick their cotton.
Oh, racism in Disney.
Yeah, I don't want to hear no goddamn singing out of your mouth. That's for the crows to do.
Do you remember when Princess and Frog came out? The backlash that they were getting from the Black Princess?
I want to say that came out in 2006 as well.
Yeah, it was mid-2000s, yeah.
Yeah.
There was backlash for that.
And I admire Disney for doing that, too. I was like, oh, they went a different route with the whole princess thing. Because they probably figured, we done so many fucking princess movies or whatever, and it's almost the same character. Let's put it in New Orleans. Let's make her black. Put a fucking frog in there.
Exactly. I mean, that's a...
I mean, I've never seen a Black Princess movie, to be honest.
No, I haven't either.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, granted, I have my problems with the movie, but I admire Disney for what they did. They probably tried to break that. They was like, we are not racist, goddammit!
He's a black mouse, come on. They're not racist.
He was black and white.
He's an Oreo cookie.
He was a mulatto. he was a white nigger.
I'm just expecting that someone knock on the door and it's the mouse with a gun. You don't talk bad about my company. I can't do his voice like you.
That mouse doesn't send, like, people always think, like, oh, they gonna send people after you. That mouse shows up. He doesn't send people, he shows them himself. He's like, oh, bitch, you was talking about us.
He kills you, and then Pluto rapes you.
Yeah, exactly. Get him, Pluto! I'll make Goofy be your roommate, you know. Been trying to get rid of his ass, but I don't know how long, whatever. But
did you know about this about Mulan? Which, actually, watching this, I can picture this. Disney tried a lot. They tried to get a live version of this going.
I can see that.
You can pit. They had Chuck Russell was the director, mm-hmm. and they had Zhang Ziyi, who was in Rush Hour 2. Mm-hmm. I hope you know who I'm talking about there.
Yeah, I know
who
you're talking about. Yeah,
yeah, but it was the filming day was supposed to start back in 2010, but status is still unknown. What they're doing.
I had heard something about that, but I thought it was just a rumor, so I never really looked into it though, because. This is probably like my second favorite Disney film, if not the first though. But out of all the Disney films, I could see this one becoming live action more than anything.
Just have Mushu as CGI, but this
they
is
could
the
even just make that a person. They wouldn't really have to. Be
oh yeah, they could.
I mean, they could
Tony Cox. Like,
it could be like a spirit.
Yeah, they could.
Since it is the Chinese anthologies and stuff like that, they could just make it like a spirit that only she could see or something.
But this is the only Disney movie I can actually picture that. Mm-hmm. And that's weird how many movies they've done.
Yeah.
It would be amazing, though.
Yeah, because obviously they can't get Snow White right still in live action.
I like The Huntsman, but it was a different take on Snow White. But yeah, Cinderella, they tried.
And I don't... Mirror, Mirror, I was expecting to hate it, and I don't really hate it. I thought it's okay for what it was, so, I mean, it's not perfect. But as far as, like, being, like, a great film, whatever, I think Mulan definitely could be done, like, especially if you add all, like, people that know karate and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Martial arts back
Chinese, they all know them.
Yeah, they all Chinese know martial arts. Come on now. Look at the last airbender. Oh, my bad.
That's not supposed to be brought up.
Yeah, no Chinese in that movie, but anyway. So how about a plot synopsis here, Z?
Let me start with the details first. Mulan came out in 1998, summer of 98, directed by Tony Bancroft and Barry Cook, written by a bunch of people, some of them like Chris Sanders, Raymond Singer, people I can't pronounce their last names, starring Ming Ya. Huh?
That's funny because usually when you have this many writers on it, because goddamn, I just looked it up too, there's a lot of writers on here. You wouldn't believe to have such a simple story and not complex on it, because most times you get a lot of writers on it, even two or more or whatever, it becomes convoluted.
And yeah, that's actually a very good point. This story, it's like you said, it's so simple that why would they need so many writers?
It's almost as if, because I know me and Lehu crack jokes about this whenever there's multiple writers, it's almost as if one just did the first half, second half, and the third half, and they didn't even read each other's script or anything. They just said, hand it all together and say, let's make it all one now. It almost felt like in this one, they all worked together as one.
I wonder if they consider, like, maybe songwriting?
Yeah, I can see that.
As a screenwriter?
Probably every different character as well, as far as, because a lot of character got a lot of, found out a lot of character background.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But the movie stars Ming-Na, who's known more for Chun-Li from the Street Fighter movie.
I'm about to say, yeah, you know where she's from now, right?
Yeah, Street Fighter. And I think she's in Crouching Tiger.
Yeah, her voice is amazing, I gotta say.
It doesn't... Which I was really expecting this to be maybe a little Chinese.
Yeah.
Because, you know, maybe Disney wanted to stay true to the heritage of Mulan, because it is based on a book. But I was very surprised that there's really no Chinese speaking at all.
No. I want to say there's like far and few between, like in the beginning of it, but not towards the middle and end.
Yeah.
In the sequel, there's more of it.
Okay.
In this one, it definitely wasn't. And like everybody's dialogue probably was kind of almost in Chinese format or whatever, except for Eddie Murphy's.
Okay, I can see that.
The only Negro in there. Because he was speaking like it was modern times and shit.
And Eddie, like you said, Eddie Murphy, B.D. Wong, Miguel Ferrer, Harvey Firestein, George Takei, and Pat Morita, who is best known for Mr. Miyagi.
Karate Kid. And don't forget James Hong, who was recently in R.I.P.D.
I haven't seen him.
Yeah, he ain't missing much or whatever. He was he's the guy that plays like Ryan Reynolds' character when he comes back.
Okay.
you saw him in the trailer, right? I was like, oh, this is what you look like now.
Yeah, I've seen him in the trailer.
Yeah, so that's what it is, whatever. So.
And the budget was $90 million. Box office was $304 million.
Jesus.
And that is probably worldwide. Surprisingly, when it came out, which is very rare for a Disney movie, that, let me find it. It finished second to X-Files.
Yeah, I guess I can see that. X-Files was pretty big in the 90s.
It was. It was.
Yeah, X-Files was fucking huge.
But it says...
Which I just got into it, but...
It said it failed to match those of the Disney movies from the early 90s, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, Lion King. But the international was huge, so... It was a success, so...
Yeah, because international, they didn't give a fuck about X-Files.
You can make shit in the U.S. and international, it could take off like crazy.
Yeah, exactly. AKA,
shit. What movie just took off international? It was just huge. That was bombed here.
Pacific Rim.
Lone Ranger.
Lone Ranger did about equal both countries.
But it still bombed.
It didn't bomb.
It made its money back?
No, it didn't make its money back, but it only shy frayed from $30 million away to making its money back, so that's not really a bomb.
Oh, I thought bombs, if anything, below the budget. Big time below the budget.
People keep talking shit about that movie. I'm just like, have y'all looked at the budget worldwide on that? Because it's already made over 150-something million of money. The budget was $200 million, so I mean, it's not really considered a bomb. A bomb is like R.I.P.D. That's a bomb.
It is a bomb.
Your budget is $130 million and all you made is $20 million back? Yeah, that's
or After Earth.
After Earth actually made a fucking $200 million overseas.
Dude. Oh, maybe that was the one I was thinking of then.
Jesus, After Earth made... actually, it made enough over here, too. It made over 100, and I was like, God damn it.
Well...
Fuck.
Go back on your Smurfs thing that this year has been shit for movies, so...
Yeah.
We're going back to the 90s where movies were actually good.
Yeah, exactly. I told you, Hollywood is getting geared up for 2014 and 15. And they're like, just dump whatever shit you can for this year so we can get it out the way for these bigger films coming out the next 2 years. Because, yeah.
I think this is like a throwaway year. Is that what you want to call it?
Yeah, I want to call it a throwaway
year.
They
do it every few years for, like, Dark Knight. That was the number one movie coming out for the past, since it was announced. That was, and then they had like a, I think
and
the summer.
Iron Man, don't forget that because that was the first one coming out.
Yep, that was the first Marvel movie. And so they pretty much drew a lot of shit because they, especially when something's going to go against it, they're like, oh fuck, this movie sucks. We're going to put it against Iron Man.
Yeah, and you got to go. You got to. Plus the Hulk came out that year too, the new one. Or but also, it was like 2012 was a pretty big year in films, whatever, animated wise as well, whatever. And they were like, we already geared up for 2015, 2014, 13. Let's just drop whatever.
Nothing's standing out this year, so...
No, everything is pretty much generic, blah, whatever. I mean, I haven't really got excited about anything I've seen this year.
The only thing I'm getting excited for is Mortal Instruments, but that's just me.
Yeah, I heard a lot of people getting excited for that, so...
Hey, that's what my new movie's kind of taked on, is New Blood Rising is kind of taken on Mortal Instruments, but...
I hope they don't fuck that up for you guys.
What, new Mortal Instruments?
Mm-hmm. Because I hear the book is amazing.
I haven't read the book. My sister lent it to me. I just haven't read it yet.
I hear that book is amazing, so I'm hoping they don't fuck that up for you guys.
Well, I'm going to read the book, and I'm very excited to see the movie.
Yeah, but they might teenage it-wise or whatever, but back to this now.
Let's talk about Mulan.
So, give me the plot synopsis now.
Plot synopsis is, I don't know what a year this took place. So let's just say current time, back in 98, I guess.
Man, I would assume it was a while ago, because they still had their Chinese rituals and shit like that and all that.
Okay,
women,
so...
Women wasn't allowed to do shit, so...
So, early 1900s?
I mean, did you hear how they were talking to women in this
They did, place? And I'm very surprised, especially when they found out Mulan was a woman instead of a guy.
Yeah,
that,
yeah like when, because everybody's like... Oh, why didn't the father go get her? And he was just pretty much like, because if I expose her, he'll kill her ass right there. And I was like, what?
And then, what's his name? Shang. Shang was going to, like, he's walking to her with a sword, and the little creepy guy was like, he's like all excited. And I'm like, one, I'm like, this really shows a bad thing for Disney.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, but it's getting it correct, though, how it was at this time. I mean that's... I kind of admire, that's one of my favorite reasons why I love the movie so much, is, like, Disney is supposed to be, everybody thinks it's all this wholesome family fun thing or whatever, but in this movie, even though it is, like, a kid's film and an adventure family film, though, they're not going to fuck up the timeline of saying, like, hey, well, this really did happen back then or whatever. I mean, this is how women were treated. Like, there's constant reminders in the film saying, you're a woman, know your place or whatever, and mm-hmm. I'm like, god damn.
Well, the Huns attack China, and that the emperor sends out flyers to that every one male member of each family has to serve.
They're using scrolls still. What did that tell you? How
okay,
old is
it? So it's the 1700s, 1800s.
Yeah.
That each member has to serve a family, and that Mulan's dad, who's old, and he's obviously handicapped because he's got a cane.
He's already served his time in the war or whatever.
And she steals his scroll, steals his armor, and poses as Ping.
Did you see how her father looked at her when she came out, though? And she was like, please, sir, my father's already served his time. Don't let him fight again. He's injured and everything. He looked at her and said, bitch, you are dishonored to my family and me. Now get out of my way. And I was like, god damn.
I am ready to serve the Emperor.
Father, you can't go!
Mulan!
Please, sir, my father has already fought for
him. Silence! You would do well to teach your daughter to hold her tongue in a man's presence. Mulan, you dishonor me.
And, hey, like you said, Disney stayed true to the time period.
I mean, did you see the look he gave her? He looked at her and was like...
It was the Eve-wise.
Yeah, don't you ever dishonor me or whatever. And even the dude, the little creepy dude that she's riding horse, he hopped this horse right in front of her and said... So, will you keep your little girl in control and let her know her place? I was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I was like, thank God wasn't no black people.
Disney needs to make a black person movie.
Oh, hell. Yeah, they need to make The Roots.
How about a Django Unchained cartoon version?
they need to make Color Purple. There you go.
But... You know, she poses as Ping in the army, she trains, and then she fights the Huns. So, simple plot synopsis for what was going on at the time.
She pretty much takes her father's place, and, there's even a moment where I actually like this most. She has a conflict with herself, saying, did I do this for my father, or did I do it for myself to prove that, you know, women aren't just, you know, stay-at-home wives, pretty much, and shit like this.
Well, yeah, pretty much when we first meet Mulan, is that she's supposed to meet with the matchmaker... About pairing her with, because obviously they had arranged marriages.
Yeah, and they pretty much set up that Mulan as a fuck up in the beginning of the film. Like,
yeah, clumsy. She was writing the things on her wrist.
On her wrist and shit, and she's kind of like, you know, I want someone to like me for who I am. You know, I want to be this brash, bold. Everybody's telling her you need to be more woman-like and everything. She's like, hey, women can hold a sword too, you know.
Yeah, and we meet her mom. Her dad's praying that she doesn't fuck it up.
I like it when the chicken's running there. He's like, I'm gonna go pray again.
Yeah, I love that. He just looks. No, he sees the dog with the bone. He goes, I'm gonna go pray.
Yeah, exactly. Because she brings him his tea, because he's getting ready to leave, and she brings the tea, and she's tripping over and shit. And then he turns right back around and says, "I'm gonna go pray again."
And I love the grandma too.
In the second film, he prays like, because they're supposed to get married, her and Shang, whatever. And he's like, "I'm gonna go pray that she says yes."
So he's a praying man. Well, all Chinese people are very supernatural or superstitious or whatever. Spiritual.
I like the grandma too. She was a
was funny.
End, she had the best line. Towards the end of the film, she was just like, sign me up for the army. You bring it back.
I loved her with the cricket at the beginning where she says, this is a lucky cricket, and carrying it with her eyes closed, walking down a busy street. Everyone crashes in front of her and behind her. And the cricket's like, I love the shot of the cricket, and he's like up against the bars of the cage, and he's like shaking.
Look like he just got raped and shit. Like,
I love, even though the cricket doesn't talk, well, he talks to the Mushu, but I love the cricket. I really did.
Oh, you'll love the cricket in the sequel, then.
Does he talk?
No, he doesn't talk, but I want to say, you know, I will say that he has more screen time in the sequel. Than
okay, but I did. Every time he was on, I did think of Jiminy Cricket every single time.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I was like, Jiminy Cricket ain't got shit on this one.
Yeah, but that's what I thought the whole time with Jiminy Cricket.
Yeah.
Maybe it was the year of the cricket that time, I don't know.
Year of the cricket? It's year of the dragon.
But,
so, what did you think of the voice acting in this film?
Eddie Murphy was good, and I can see why he was chosen as Donkey in Shrek, because he was Donkey in this movie.
I want to say they used Eddie Murphy as marketing as they do with Despicable Me as the man used.
You mean Eddie Murphy as the guy or the voice?
As the dragon. They used the dragon as like the marketing gimmick for this, as they used the minions for the Despicable Me or whatever.
Which everybody loves the minions.
Mm-hmm. And Eddie Murphy obviously was big in 98. I mean, 98, that was fucking his time. I mean,
he did
the 90s and 80s was his time, whatever, so.
Yeah, he just did Nutty Professor right before this. So his career was up big time. But I mean, BD Wong was good. He was very strong. Ming Na was good. She had a very nice, pleasant voice.
Very pleasant voice. She sings.
That wasn't her.
In the second one.
Oh, she does sing.
Yeah, in the second one, that's her really, and I was like, wow, her voice is amazing.
Well, I wonder why they didn't have her sing in the first.
I don't know actually. I don't know that actually.
But Dottie Osmond sang for Shang's voice for the I'll Make a Man Out of You. But the voice I loved the most was Shang Yu by Miguel Ferrer. His voice...
Oh, I know what you're talking about, yeah.
I like him as an actor because he looks like a villain 100%. His voice is so creepy.
Yeah.
One voice I do have to do the fact who I knew who it was Harvey Fierstein. Yao, the guy with the black eye.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I don't like him.
As an actor or voice actor?
Both.
Both?
He's too... We know he's gay, but he's He's too over the top. He was like the same in Mrs. Doubtfire. Too over the top.
I found the other guy he was with more over the top, which was Ling, the taller guy.
The big guy, the monk-looking guy?
Yeah, the dude that's played by G. Watanabe.
Yeah.
Is he related to King Watanabe?
I'm looking. I don't think so.
He was the one that hung out with the three of them.
It was like the Three Stooges.
Yeah, exactly. I thought he was more over the top than the one you're talking about. But, yeah, I can see where... But they're all three of them were characters in their own world.
Yeah. And
three that, like... Because they spend more time with the sequel is more about them. If anything,
the soldiers,
those three, Mulan and Shang, is all as one. Whatever, it's more about just those. They focus more on those main characters. A lot of whatever.
Well, that's what I would say about this one, that they focus more on them. Because if you looked at someone like the training things, they showed the other guys that weren't the three in Mulan, that they were just generic Chinese guys.
Mm-hmm. I think what they do is for this one, they build them up to the point where they thought that they could be for the kids, that they could have their own spin-off show or something like that.
Which, I think, I want to say they maybe had a small TV show.
Really?
I want to say they did, but I could be so wrong.
I'd like to see that, actually, to be honest. You know what? I think you might be right. I want to say I remember seeing something with them three and something smaller.
Yeah, it's just maybe a spin-off show just of the three.
It didn't last that long, neither. I don't want to say
no, so. But they had a video game of Mulan. They had, you know, obviously the sequel, and then it's referenced in Kingdom Hearts, the video game.
Yeah.
Mushu is. And I guess Mulan was in the second season of... A Mulan character was in the second season of Once Upon a Time.
Oh, Yeah.
Which is an ABC, so that's Disney, so...
Yeah. So what did you think about the villains in this movie, as far as the
He looked creepy. I mean, I mean, Shang Yu looked creepy. I don't understand why he had the vampire teeth and stuff, but it was weird.
That was the first time I saw a character with a hoodie on that I didn't mind.
But it looked like that they had a bad version of the good people.
Yeah.
It was like a mirror image.
Yeah, you know what? I can see that, too, because the guy with the bow and arrow, he kind of reminded me of Lee.
Yep.
Yeah. So, that's why I kind of figured...
Yeah, like, the bigger guys, the two twins that were bigger, they reminded me of the fat guy they were hanging around with as well, so...
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was, they were good. I really liked Miguel Ferrer's voice. I really
it
did.
Was frightening.
Yes, it was. And he was such... I mean, did they... I don't... What's Huns from? What country are they from? Do you know?
I want to say they're like Mongolian style. I mean, they're from Asia, obviously. They're from Asia, but I can't remember what part though. But they're like Mongolians and stuff like that. Because what they're getting upset for pretty much is like they even said in the movie, like when they talk to the emperor, it's like you build a wall around my area and you to keep them out, of course, whatever. And he's like, and you don't think we try to test you on that?
No, No. He kind of said that I was invited. Because they build a wall and they test my strength.
Well, no, I'm saying an example. I'm not saying his exact fucking words. Come on now.
But that's what he said. But I thought that was a cool line, though.
Yeah, it was a badass line. I go, he's like, you pretty much tested me, bro. He's like, you pretty much told me to come over here and try me. That's what you told me. You insulted me with that wall, pretty much.
Yeah, and which the Great Wall of China was built just for that, to keep them out. So,
yeah, exactly, because they was already destroying shit. They were like a pack of hooligans.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, I loved them, and it made them dark because they were all dark skins. Shang Yu had the hoodie, and you can barely see. You only see the bottom of his face.
What about that doll they found? Remember when
that was creepy?
And he was like, "Well, let's return the doll back to the girl." And then they get to that village, and it's all burned down. So I was like, "Did they kill that little girl?" Jesus.
Hey, hun. Seriously, back in that time, they would kill anyone. They'd probably rape and pillage.
And that was some of the shit I was just talking about in this Disney film. Like, not only did they disrespect women because they was keeping the truth of what it was, whatever, but the shit that we didn't get to see, but if you thought about it, it was just like, oh my god, if they just...
This is without a doubt, the darkest Disney cartoon movie ever.
Yeah, I have to say, I'm trying to remember, I mean, from the Disney films I saw, I mean, of course you got... It's always where it's like, oh, we're trying to kill this person, whatever. But in this one, if you look beyond the context of what they were saying, they actually did do that.
Well, you remember when they found the two scouts that they said, "Go tell your emperor we're coming," and they're running. He goes, "How many does it take to send a message?" And the one guy with the bow and arrow says, "One."
Yeah, that was a badass line. Then he shot him with that. No, he had the arrow already set up. He was just like, "One," and then he fires it. I was like, "God damn."
Yeah.
I mean, when they got to that village, though, like, all the soldiers that were passed out and laying on there, I was like, God damn, they ambushed these dudes.
Which kind of brings me, because Shang's father was the general of the entire Chinese army.
Yeah.
That they find his helmet, but I'm like, that doesn't mean he's dead.
Well, they probably will, because remember the fat guy only went down there. I don't think he'd bring his body up there.
But you know what I mean? It doesn't mean he's dead.
He probably just took his helmet, though. He probably just took the helmet. I don't think I damn sure wouldn't bring the body up. I'll just say that.
Okay. They didn't want to be graphic, because it wasn't graphic.
Let's say that if your father died, and you didn't go down there, but you just saw the millions of bodies of deaths, whatever, would you want me to bring the body up there, just drag it up there or whatever and shit, or would you just want me to bring something memorable that was respect? Because, like, you know, like, in Chinese era or whatever, a sword is, like, the most important. That's why they were... Like, when they met the emperor, here's Shang Yu's sword,
yep,
or whatever. Like,
it was a
sword
trophy.
Or the armor is, like, what's more important.
Okay, that's okay. That makes sense.
I wouldn't want to drag my body up.
Disney didn't want to be... They're already dark enough. They didn't want to go two shades dark, you know?
Dude, if somebody brought my, my parents or like, a body up from a fucking hill, just threw that shit in the ground, I'd have to stare at it and be like, oh! You couldn't just bring, like, a... item he had on him or something. Oh, fuck me, man.
But that was actually, I mean, it wasn't, this ain't a cheery movie until the end. I would say the middle is the such a dark with the Huns.
It's very depressing, to be honest.
You get the fun part with Mulan being a klutz, and you get the celebration at the end. But the middle with the Huns, that's the darkest thing. I mean, I swear to God, these have to be frightening for kids with the Huns.
I would even say for women as well, because, like, you don't get to see Mulan really become, like, a self-independent, strong woman until, like, halfway through the film. And before that, you feel bad for her. She's getting treated by her shit like everybody. You kind of like, oh, man, I hope she does show everybody up at one point, because I'm getting, like, bad feelings, like, goddamn women, man.
Yeah, but Disney did, you know, they pretty much made a very strong female character with Mulan.
I really love this character. I'm not gonna lie.
She was a very strong character. She, you know, like I said, posed as Ping going into the training camp, you know, and then the guys treat her like shit. Because one, look at her compared to them.
Mm-hmm. The difference is what made her work is she stopped trying to be a guy and started using, like, you know, she started using her common sense of intelligence and shit like that. I mean,
she used her brains.
How she climbed to get the arrow. She realized, hey, I got these two big ass weights on them. Why don't I just swing them around and slide? I was like, that's probably the most logical thing of doing anyway to grab that.
Yeah, and I think that earned everyone's respect.
Or how about even when the Huns? It's like a fucking million of these guys, whatever, and they're running down that hill, and she used the last cannon to start an avalanche.
Yeah, and I love when Mushu was sitting on the cannon, and he fired because she lost her. Because the hawk swung by and she dropped her match and she uses Mushu to light the cannon and he falls on top of it and it flies off and he's like, you missed him, he was 3 feet away, you missed him.
He said, how did you miss him? He was 3 feet in front of you.
You missed him! How could you miss? He was 3 feet in front of you!
And that was actually a really cool scene, especially when they were running and they kind of, the camera or the whatever, I don't know how they do animation. How the camera moved up, and you saw all these Huns running.
The cinematography looked really great in that as far as the animation-wise.
Yeah, the animation was perfect.
It looked amazing in that shot, just alone right there. When they zoomed the camera out, and you saw just the Huns running, it almost looked like that could have been, like, claymation-style format as well. So
That's a very interesting idea. I didn't think about that.
It looked amazing when I saw that. I was just like, wow, this...
But... I'm not going to lie, because this is how I kind of had a small problem. They had how many guys in training camp when they were training?
They had like 1,000 of them, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, and then they go to, when the avalanche hits and the Huns are wiped out, there's like 6.
Some of them did die when they got those arrows stuck.
But obviously you got the main character, the three stooges, Mulan, Shang, the horse... Yeah, the cricket obviously survives the avalanche.
Yeah, that creepy guy.
Yeah.
And a couple, like, generic, like, 3 or 4 generic soldiers and shit.
So, and they find this one rock, and then everyone thinks it's over, and Mulan actually got stabbed. Was she got stabbed, or she got scraped?
She got cut, because I remember when I saw it or whatever, and they actually show blood in this.
I've never seen blood in a Disney movie.
I'm trying to think. I mean, maybe I have, but I really am trying to think. It's been a while since I've seen those golden ones or whatever, but, man, they actually showed blood in the shit.
And they did a cool thing is that they actually showed. She removed her hand, the blood just kind of spread.
It was all over her hand and shit, too, mm-hmm. Whatever. I was like, oh, man.
And that's when everyone finds out she's a woman because the doctor, how the doctor got there, I'll never know, but the doctor tells...
Let's go back to their base camp. Just hearing from you say that now, and them getting back to wherever they was at a base camp, I'm imagining that they had stations round up somewhere, places.
Okay, you find out, you know, she's a woman, and the creepy guy, who I don't remember his name.
Was it her that came, was it the guy, I don't remember his name either, but was it him that threw her out of the tent?
No, she ran out after Shang, after he...
Somebody threw her out, I remember that, because she landed on the ground, remember?
Maybe it was him.
I think it was that creepy... You know, it was the creepy dude, because I remember he... Because Shang walked in and was just, like, looking at her, and he was like, huh. And then he turned around and walked out, and then that guy walked in, and he's like, so it's true. And then he grabbed her and brought her arm and just threw her out, like, God! She still had the blanket wrapped around her and shit, though, whatever, and then He's like, you disobeyed a commanding officer. You bring dishonor to your family and shit. You know what the penalty is here. And everybody's like, oh my god. And then Chang pulls that sword out, and I was like, are you really gonna murder?
You knew that was gonna happen, but
I knew it wasn't gonna happen. But I was like, god.
The three Stooges were like, they couldn't watch, and the creepy guy's like, yes, do it, do it, do it.
The creepy dude. Okay, he's one of those generic characters that to the point where you're expecting to where he turns on the good guy.
Yes, yes, that's exactly what I thought when I first saw him at the beginning.
He's one of those guys, like, he's secretly going behind the back, telling the whereabouts and stuff like that. He doesn't do that at all, whatever, but that time where Shane pulls that sword out and he's smiling, he looked like fucking Jafar from Aladdin.
He did.
Because, goddamn, the look in his face, I was just like, this dude is a monster.
Yeah, and he was pretty much there for comic relief, that's all.
Yeah, because everybody had to have that nerdy guy among these tough guys that was just a joke, and they had to, he was the guy. So I mean, but it was the reason why Shang didn't kill her, because I wanted to know if Mulan didn't save him, which he would have killed him, would he would have killed her anyway? Because he just told her, he threw the sword down and said a life for a life. Because before that, they had a scene where in the snow where Mulan saved him, and he pretty much told her, "I owe you my life," or whatever.
And he said, "I trust you too."
Yeah, exactly. So I wonder if that never would have happened, would he would have killed her?
Yeah, and he says, "You trust Ping." What makes? Oh, that's actually at the city, where she says, "You trust Ping." What makes me any different?
Yeah, what makes Mulan any different? So I mean, that I wonder if she wouldn't have saved him, would he would have slicked her throat? Because before that point, they really didn't have any kind of chemistry together as far as you know. This is my right hand. Well. Mulan, Blee, and Ping, this is my right-hand man to me now. You know, I trust him with my life and stuff like that, because they didn't really have that. Because before that, a rocket goes off in her little tool shed, because Mushu must have set the shit off, whatever, and he looked at her and was like, you just gave our damn position away, and she's like, I was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, there's no chemistry. I mean, Mushu kind of said something about earlier that you like him, don't you? And she's like, no. So, I mean, every Disney movie is going to have a romance, and this was just kind of an odd one. The build-up was kind of odd due to the fact that she was posing as a guy.
And I don't find this more as a typical romance that the Disney films do, neither.
I think this was more of respect.
Yeah, because, you know what? It was more of a respectful relationship they had of one of another, of what they did, than it was a romantic relationship, because they don't kiss in the movie, number one. That's one thing. There is no really... There's an ending with, like, he pretty much tells her, like, hey, I like you, but I don't know how to talk to you. And then the emperor looks at him and just like, he tells him an old Chinese saying, but then he's just like, what did you say? He's like, look, you don't meet no fucking girl like that. You better go grab that ass right
there. something along those lines.
Yeah, he's like, what's wrong with you, brother? He's like, you ain't gonna meet no chick like that. You better look at her. And even at the end or whatever, it pretty much end with them two saying, hey, you want dinner?
And then the grandma saying, sign me up for the next war.
Yes, that's all you hear in the background. Sign me up. Because before that, when she brings her father the sword and the medallion of the emperor or whatever, she's like, the grandma's like, she didn't bring a man back? And then when Chang walks through it, he's like, oh, sign me up for the army next.
You know, I was expecting throughout the movie, because Disney has this pretty much for everything, talking animals besides Mushu. Because the horse had personality. The horse pretty much was a bodyguard, the Mulan.
You know what? Fucking Disney, they do amazing things with horses.
What do you mean?
Tangled, that horse was amazing in that film.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, whenever they get a horse on there, they know the formula of these horses. Don't make them talk, just have them there and doing some hijinks or whatever. And they're fucking awesome.
But the cricket didn't talk, but Mushu was in, I thought the cricket, you know, might have talked, but just not with the grandma at the beginning. But I was kind of surprised they didn't do it, and I'm kind of glad they didn't.
Mm-hmm. Well, they never once, like, did anything like... Like in most Disney songs, I mean, Disney movies, you feel like the music and stuff just kind of literally comes out of nowhere. I feel like in this movie, it didn't come out of nowhere. Like you said, like the talking animals or the talking fucking trees or plants or anything like that.
Yeah.
Because they do that shit. Like fucking flowers come to life on your ass, whatever and shit. And like the songs are just like repeatedly. But there's probably like three times of singing in this movie. You got one at the beginning, in the middle, and towards the end, like halfway through.
Yeah,
they didn't end the movie either with like a song in Bollywood dance type style either.
Yeah, well, they had four. They had the grandma singing, Mulan singing the reflection song, I'll Make a Man Out of You, and then A Woman Back Home, or whatever it's called. So four songs, which I did not know this was a musical going into it. Which,
yeah, I would love to see it, to be honest. I'm not gonna lie.
You what?
I would love to see it.
A live version?
Yeah, hell yeah, I would. Shit, I love this movie. It's one of my favorite Disney movies. So yeah, I would pay to go see this. I'd definitely go pay to see this before I go see fucking dudes walking around in lion masks and shit to see.
I like the end too. The because the Huns, Shang Yu survives the avalanche, which is physically impossible, but it's a Disney movie, whatever.
Right now, that looked creepy as fuck when he got out of that snow, though.
Yeah, the hawk circles around, and the hawk sees his hand just shoot out. Then you see a bunch, like, his other guys come out.
It fucking got, like, they must have turned the lighting down on there, because it got darker when they got out of that shit.
Well, yeah, it did, because that was pretty much their time right now, because they break in to the city when...
And they still treat Mulan... I was trying to tell everybody, but they treat her like shit. Mushu's like, hey, you're a woman again. But I was like, damn!
And it wasn't just a soldier. It was just random people in the crowd.
Yeah, and then Mulan looks like, why isn't nobody listening to me? And he was like, oh, I'm sorry. Did you say anything? He's like, I'm sorry, but you're a woman, remember? And I was like, every time they say that, I just feel so uneven or something. I was like, Jesus Christ, man.
But... This movie did set women's rights back a little bit.
I mean, set it back and uplifted it at the same time.
Yeah, and
you had a character here that was willing to go against the type of what they were supposed to be.
With exactly, and what I found weird is that they had a parade like maybe the next morning after the Huns are dead. I'm like, well, too early.
It was that same night.
Was it the same night?
Yeah, it was nighttime when they had that.
It was, wasn't it? And I'm like,
yeah, it was nighttime. So yeah, they buried the Huns in the morning or whatever, afternoon I guess, or whatever. At nighttime, they had the fucking parade of welcoming the soldiers back.
Yeah, so I'm like, a little early for that, don't you think?
Hey, well, I guess they thought they were all dead. I guess.
and
like they hit the internet to check it, proof it, you know.
Yeah, and then I called it too. I'm like, but I thought when Shang was talking with the Emperor. And you see the big dragon costume behind him. I'm like, Shang Tsung's going to be behind him. And I was wrong. It was his other guys, but I thought it was going to be him.
That was a badass shot with Shang Yu on top of the, next to the dragon gargoyle on the roof or whatever, and that falcon came and just landed on him and shit. I was like, that's a creepy-ass scene right there.
Yeah, and then they kidnap the Emperor, going to kill him in front of everyone. Well, they wanted to bow down to him first, and then the Emperor does some Chinese saying about the wind doesn't bow down the tree, or tree doesn't bow down the wind, or something.
I tire of your arrogance, old man. Bow to me! No matter how the wind howls, a mountain cannot bow to it.
I said, goddamn, jeez. I said, I don't understand most of these Chinese adverbs or anything like that, but I understood that one and what it meant. I was like, yeah, he said, like the tree doesn't bow down to the wind. I said, you just asked me.
He's being a smartass. I was hoping, I'm like, please say wax on, wax off. Please say it.
Yeah, exactly. And then we're getting to the scene where like Mulan, of course, convinces the guys to pretty much listen to her, and they save him or whatever. And then they see like, because the three soldiers or whatever, they dress up like women, and then one of the guards is waving at him, and he's like, contrabands, and then the other guy's like, ugly contrabands.
So Disney's pretty much saying dressing, cross-dressing is cool.
Yeah, cross-dressing, it's cool, but you'll be ugly, so you know. Yeah.
And then they don't get killed, they just get knocked out, and obviously they're probably killed later on, but...
they got killed when Mulan was running up them stairs. Or whatever, they secretly killed him. They were like, we can't show that much of her. I like the fight scene between Shang Yu and Mulan.
And what was his? Was his sword made of like the strongest metal in the world? Because he cut through those pillars like they were paper.
His sword had to be important for them to bring back the sword to the Emperor. But, you know what? I want to say that's probably why they thought they were dead. I mean, bringing someone's sword back, that's kind of like the ultimate insult to, or saying that they're dead back in the Chinese
okay.
proverbs and stuff like that. But yeah, his sword was fucking smashing through it. But there was that scene on the rooftop where Mulan takes her fan, and the guy Shang Yu's like, "You've run out of ideas." And when he tries to stab her, the sword goes through the fan, and she spins it around and clears. I was like, that was a badass.
Imagine that in live action.
They what?
Imagine that in a live action version.
Oh man, that'd be badass, dude. That looks so fucking cool. It made her look cool. Like, if you didn't see the movie and you just got to the end of it and saw that part, you'd be like, this character is cool.
It was. She was very cool. And then he blows, then she kind of uses laws of physics to use, pretty much she does.
She pretty much does what they do in Kick-Ass when he uses a rocket launcher to blow up Mark Strong's character.
It throws him into looks like an outpost that has a shitload of fireworks in it, and those two guys jump out. Like those two guys commit suicide.
You know, back then, Chinese fireworks, they ain't like these pussy fireworks we got now. Those motherfuckers were literally explosive back then, so.
Yeah, and you did see those two guys jump out of the outpost, right?
They
and
got the fuck up out of it.
They committed suicide.
Dude, okay, we talk about how dark Disney is. Not only did they not commit suicide, number one, but number two, when they fired him with that rocket, I was like, that's got to be the worst death ever in a Disney movie.
And I was just expecting, if this was alive, imagine who would do this if it was alive. He gets shot with a rocket, thrown into the outpost, and he blows up. Just imagine the people, they're showing the people, like the spectators on the ground, blood just pounces on them.
Quentin Tarantino.
There you go.
Yeah, or Eli Roth with Tarantino or Robert Rodriguez. They'd have a field.
Yeah, I mean, he just pretty much turns into one big firework.
I mean, Jesus, God. When I saw that, when I rewatched it over the other night or whatever, and I was looking, I was like, God, that is a fucked up death. I mean that's just as bad as the rocket launcher Kick-Ass.
It was, but you know, yeah, but he got, Shang Yu got worse because he had multiple fireworks.
Yeah, because you imagine being lifted off the ground by another rocket and being smudged into other rockets?
Yeah, it's pretty much let go of the rocket and fall to your death, or just go for the ride.
That's a fucking brutal ass death, I gotta say.
Like you're dead either way.
And so then we get to the Emperor pretty much just saying, hey, you're a bitch. And he's like, oh, I'm joking with you. Here's a medal. You know, here's the sword and everything. Because he was pretty much going to fire that creepy dude. He was like, see that Mulan has a job on the council staff. And then he was like, oh, we're all full up. He was like, well, you can have his job then. Or whatever.
And
he's like, what?
And she's like, I got to return home. But the cool thing, he does like the, I know who you are. I know what you done, Mulan. And he says, you wrecked my castle. I'm like, she didn't do shit to your castle. It was Shang Yu.
She should have said shit. If I would have did that, your ass would have been had a head cut off on the fucking Frasier's audience or whatever. And shit. I actually like that speech. I don't know if you saw the background cinematography. It looked almost live action style, whatever. Like they kind of like contrast the animation style up, but colored it in a little bit with more detail. And I was like, this is a beautiful shot right here. And even the speech, I liked it a lot too. So.
And then you know she goes back to her dad, and he says a great line. And she says about, what did she say about, I didn't, she presents him the sword?
Yeah, she's like, I brought you the sword of Shang Yu and the crest emblem of the Emperor.
And he goes, I'm sorry for dishonoring you. And he goes, the greatest gift and honor is for having you as a daughter.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a cool line.
They finally treat women right in this movie. Yeah, because he threw that crest and that sword down to the ground. I was like, God damn, dude. I was like, man, those are good gifts right there.
I'm like, she pretty much saved your life.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, when she had, like, the crest of the Emperor, he literally gave her his crest and shit. I'm like, I don't live in China, but that's a big fucking deal to be received that by the Emperor or whatever. And he looked at that and just threw that shit down. I was like, damn.
Yeah, but it turned into a whole sappy Disney moment at the end.
But it was just going to show you more that his daughter was more important than any fucking emblem of crest.
Yeah. And we also learn about Mushu is that he was a fuck-up? Is that what you want to call him?
He was pretty much the guardian keeper.
Yeah, and they have, like, the whole family spirits, which was, it was kind of funny with the whole ghost. That's where George Takei came in. He was the big one.
Yeah.
And Mushu pretty much rings the gong to wake them up.
and he was supposed to wake up this big lion statue, and he destroys the statue.
Well, I guess he won't be coming back in the sequel.
No, and then he poses as the lion that he's gonna go protect Mulan, because that's
such an amazing job that they pretty much put him back with the guard, rest of the guard, and he's now guardian again.
Yeah, they didn't really say. I think he led someone to get their head cut off. I think that was the joke.
What was that?
When they were doing the ghost with the whole ancestors, that one guy had his head cut off, and they were like, you did this, and the guy goes, thanks for that. So I think he got his head cut off. I think he got a guy head cut off. So Mushu was pretty much a fuck-up that was demoted to just a gong ringer. Which was, it was kind of cool to learn more about that, and like I said, I haven't seen part two, so maybe they go into more...
They focus more on that in the sequel.
They do? Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's more of the ancestor thing, because Mushu's, because Mulan's getting married, and they're all laughing at Mushu, because he thinks he's running shit now, he thinks he's such a badass, he's like, look what I did for this family, the generation of women and everything, or whatever, and then they tell him, Mulan's getting married, or whatever, and he's like, and? What does that mean? He's like, a woman in this family is married, she no longer needs a guardian because the guardians become his side of the family or the ones that protect her. So you're going back to guard duty. He looked at it and was like, oh, hell no.
That sounds pretty cool.
So he tries to be a dick the whole movie and tries to break them two up or whatever and shit.
But to give my rating, it was a typical Disney movie. I can't give it a bucket because it's, like I said, a typical Disney movie. Animation was phenomenal. The music was pretty good. The music was catchy. I like the song "I'll Make a Man." Yeah, that's actually a really cool song.
Yeah, I like that song a lot. I was trying to look it up last night. I might try to download that later on too.
The voices were great. Eddie Murphy was. He should maybe stick to more voice roles than live action. Unless he's doing Beverly Hills Cop, stick the voice roles. The Huns were scary. They were I think they were the darkest characters next to Little Mermaid, the octopus.
Yeah, about second row of the fucking name or not.
I don't know, but I think that was the darkest next to them. And but I'm going to give it a large.
Mm-hmm. Not bad for your first viewing, right?
No, it's not. I literally enjoy it. I've never seen a bad Disney movie. I really haven't.
Would, since it's easy to get a hold of this, would you recommend this, or would you watch it again with some people or whatever? If they wanted to bring a Disney film or something like that?
I would bring it up in the discussion.
Okay.
I would. Right,
so, I always like hearing people that didn't see movies or whatever that like, cover basics. Like you said, typical Disney film, whatever, but it covers basics that you don't see in Disney films.
No, you see a strong character. I mean, would you say Tangled? Well, this is before Tangled. Look at all the previous ones. Princess Jasmine from Aladdin, Cinderella, Snow White, Sleeping Beauty.
I want to say Princess Jasmine was the one that did the most, but that's only because she had three fucking movies at the same time, too.
Yeah.
So, I always felt like I didn't mind the princesses in no previous movies, but I always felt like they're just the typical sweet girl looking for a man type, whatever. In this film, this girl is not a princess, and she's looking to bring honor to the family. Not only that, to protect her father, and to make it seem like, hey, I'm not a fuck-up as well, you know what I mean? That's why I thought, like, they didn't crowbar a love relationship in it. Like you said earlier, it's more of a respectful relationship that they have.
That's a strong point. She was the strongest female lead character in any Disney movie. Mm-hmm. And she's most likable, too.
Yeah, exactly. I really liked her and her motivation. I'm going to give it I'm going to go ahead and give it a high C. I think I want to say, because I always thought Aladdin was my favorite one. Maybe I need to walk back and watch it with her, but I really love Mulan. I mean, once again, I thought people saying, oh, they don't do this with women, or they don't do this in animation, or whatever, then obviously you forgot about this film, because, even though you said, it follows, this just a typical Disney film, I agree to disagree with that. I feel it follows the same Disney tropes as a middle, beginning, and end of how Disney films go, whatever, mm-hmm. But I thought that they cover aspects in it that were so totally different from what you see in any other Disney animated film, and I think this is, up there on top, on high of their ropes, or whatever, so I give it a high C.
Okay, I'm kind of surprised. I thought, because you said it was one of your favorites, I thought you were going to give it a Yeah, like, yeah, High C it is. I'm thinking of mine. Sorry.
I'm gonna say what's higher than a High C? Does C know something I don't?
So is this is actually ranked from critical reception from Rotten Tomatoes and IMDb. Mulan is number 36 out of all Disney movies.
Oh really?
Wait. That's an order of when they were made. But Rotten Tomatoes gave it an 86. IMDb gave it a 7.3.
Fair. I agree with
him. Mm-hmm. So.
Ready for some comments now?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I like when you say that. It makes me feel empowered now.
Hey, it feels weird to have a black man in power, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. Whatever. We still got that nigga Obama.
I bet you he wakes up in the morning like, I'm still in power.
Yeah, exactly. Let me get my Jordans on.
He's like, it's going to be White Slave Day.
Yeah, White Slave Day. Oh, yeah, I need to go to China and hang out with Mulan. You know, try to fuck her. That was a fine-ass Asian animated chick. I'm sorry. And I was checking her out afterwards.
Okay, I was waiting for you to say something like that.
I mean, Jesus Christ. They talking about when they walked in here when she was getting bandaged up, talking about, it's a woman. I'd have been like, yeah, it's a woman. I started taking my armor off and been like, so, hey, how you feeling now, huh? You feel better?
And she was pure. You could tell because she had no boobs.
Yeah.
And be like, yeah, she could pose as a guy very, very well.
She must be posing as a 17. I don't think she was 18 in the film.
Well, it was. I don't know how arranged marriages work. I think you get arranged when you're like 16, 17.
I don't know how they work in their culture. So.
Okay, yeah. They could be different than like India or something like that.
Yeah, so I don't know how the arranged works or how that goes or whatever. But first comment here comes from Silk.
Is that his real name?
Yeah, I'm gonna call him Silky.
That's a badass Silky. Name. I think of the old R&B group. Freak me.
I'm thinking of Color Me Bad. He says, or she said, I don't know what it is. See, he said, I shit you not like 10 times during the podcast. Just saying, Scream isn't bad. Where would you two rank it on your all-time favorite horror movies? Oh, man, that's hard.
Your horror is different than my horror.
Well, I can't.
I would say number one.
I can't think of all the horror movies.
But I'm not gonna lie. Strangers is like Scream's 1A, Strangers is 1B. Mm-hmm. So it's close.
It's easier for you to do that. You're a horror genre type, whatever. I'm trying to think now.
You can go to the slashers, Freddy, Nightmare, Halloween, Psycho, Alien.
I put it in my top five.
Gotcha.
I don't know where because I'm trying to think of all the horror films that I like or whatever, or even the ones that even came out and stuff. So, but I know this one will be in my top five, probably even number three, maybe. I'm not sure. That is something I have to really think about, actually. But I would say it's in my top five somewhere.
Yeah, it's well. Scream's well deserved it.
Yeah. So, God, now you really got me thinking. I'm trying to think of like outside of like obviously, The Exorcist, the original one.
Ooh, The Exorcist. Oh.
That's my number one all the time. That shit still scares the fuck out of me.
I think it does scare me due to the fact that that could fucking happen.
And plus, it was the first one of its kind at the time.
Oh, yeah, because no one could touch religion.
No, exactly. Nobody dared touch religion in horror films like that.
Which, the only thing I think that happened was Ten Commandments, maybe like Ben-Hur, stuff like that. But this one did a negative on religion.
And the Omen.
Ugh. I hate... He's the reason why I hate kids in movies. Like, I hate, like, The Ring. I want to kick that fucking kid every time I see him in the movie.
I never knew this about Z. All right, he's a child beater.
No, I hate kids in movies. I do.
I kind of do, too. But have you, the original Omen film? The music in that bitch is a mind fuck. Seriously.
The kid's a mind fuck. Especially at the end when he turns around and smiles at the camera. I'm like, you little bitch.
Jesus Christ. No wonder you hate the Boy Wonder so much.
He's 18. He's not a kid no more.
Okay, yeah, he's legal now. So, ladies, go ahead. I was just recently watching that film. I haven't seen it in so many years. The Omen and, the music in there, they don't even do much with it, but it's just like a simple guy walking and they play that music just in the background. You hear that piano hitting harder. I was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I was watching this in the morning. It probably would have an effect on me.
The only reason why I think I'll put Scream as number one is due to replay value. Because I could not watch Exorcist all over and over. I can't.
No, that shit scared the fuck out of us.
I can't watch Strangers over and over. That's a creepy fucking movie. I can't watch Friday the 13th or Nightmare or Halloween. I can't watch those over and over. Scream I can watch over and over.
I think it's gotten to a point where the first Freddy, Halloween, and Jason films, those films were films that were up there on that level, but now that we're getting into the remakes and reboots of them or whatever, it's gotten to the point now where they are replay value films just for fun, not for horror.
I think the only good remake horror would be Hills Have Eyes. Mm-hmm. Maybe Dawn of the Dead.
Oh, and I was just about to say, don't forget Dawn of the Dead. I was just about to say that. Dawn of the Dead, the original, and the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre as well.
Yeah.
See, I had to come back to that. I'd put Scream in my top five, but I got all those where...
Tied with Strangers for me.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with Exorcist, my favorite horror film, and then I'd probably put Scream like at my number 3-4, somewhere around there.
Okay, cool.
Next comment here comes from Michael E. Yeah, I gotta say, I'm not really a Scream fan. It's a good movie, but I think Dream Wars is a more exciting film for me. Glad to see you guys will be doing animated films for the next show. What are your three favorite Disney animated films?
Ooh.
That's actually the first list question we've had on this show.
Wow.
Put you on the spot. It didn't easy, huh?
Would computer count too?
What was that?
Computer, like Toy Story? Or do you just want to go Disney?
I guess it's Pixar, but...
Wall-E?
That's Pixar too, isn't it?
I thought that was Disney.
That's Pixar, I believe.
Okay, so we'll just stay strict with Disney. Lion King, mm-hmm. Aladdin, and then probably Mulan. It's probably shot up 3-3.
Wow. You just saw the movie or whatever, and it's already on your 3 list now.
Yes, sir. I really liked it.
I guess my list is almost similar to yours, but I'm going to go with... Mulan, my favorite, Aladdin, and Beauty and the Beast.
Ah, that's a good one.
I was thinking of a Lion King as well, but that's kind of like the typical one, of course. Whatever. So I'm going to go with Beauty and the Beast. I like Beauty and the Beast. The music in there is great. Belle, I like Belle a lot because she's hot. I can fuck her.
I liked Lion King because it was kind of like this generation's Bambi with... dad dying.
Yeah.
So it was, I grew up pretty much, I think I was in fifth, sixth grade when it came out, but that was pretty much the animated movie of the time, was Lion King.
That's because they ripped it off from Kimba the White Lion, but, you know, if you don't know what I'm talking about, people, look it up. It was some animated TV show that was like a Japanese anime style, whatever, and wow, I was looking it up like a month ago or whatever, and I was like, wow, they even stole screenshots from it. Disney always say, that was just coincidence.
Yeah.
But, it's kind of, you know, when you got the same screenshots and everything like that, poster models and stuff like that, I don't know, that's kind of, I mean, granted, it could be a coincidence, but, you know, it's so close between each other when they came out that it's like...
I never heard of that. I never heard of it.
Heard of it?
No.
Kimba the White Lion, I mean... There's like when Mufasa stands on the Pride Rock, there's one of the white lions standing on one as well in the back. So, or like the basic character of Kimba is kind of the same as Simba.
Okay.
It's pretty much the same character. So it's. Disney always says it was a coincidence that happened, whatever, but I was like, I don't know. Kimba was pretty big when that came out. I don't know how that could be a coincidence. I mean. But, yeah, I don't work for Disney. They'd probably fire my black ass for talking too much.
You're fired.
You're who? Yeah, get your black ass out of here, nigga.
Now he's going to tell you get a switch and then fire you.
Yeah, exactly, whatever. He'd be like, I see, you brought up that goddamn white lion again, huh? What did I tell you about Kimba? What's his name? Simba. Say it again, bitch. Oh,
It sounds like you're enjoying it.
I would enjoy it, actually. Whatever. I'd be like, now give it to Minnie to do it. Give it to her.
Give it to Minnie.
And Donald's just over in the corner like, yeah, do it again.
Yes. Goofy's like, I think the nigger's had enough.
Oh, like, shut up. Shut up, Goofy, you're next.
You're next, bitch. Okay, Mickey. Oh, wow, we're still getting sued by this. Let that Throwback Tuesday off the fucking air. But next comment here comes from Monica. He says, would love to know how you guys would react if Ghostface called you guys. Feel free to provide details on the call and all. Hello.
I can imagine you. You'd be like,
you set it up, and what do you do on a regular day when you have free time?
What do I do?
Yeah, that's how I would set the call up. Like, you'd have to be at home. You would have to be, I don't know, you'd have to be just pretty much on your free time. Like, because everybody he's called was usually a woman, and they wouldn't do anything but sleeping or about to watch a movie or some shit like that. So, you know, it'd have to be when you're alone, and what are you doing in your free time?
I would be chilling at my apartment. Mm-hmm. Probably maybe on my laptop or watching TV.
Mm-hmm. Then so he's going to give you that call. He's going to be like, hello, Z.
Be like, who is this? One, I wouldn't answer a number if I didn't know who the number was. That's one.
He would get mad because he'd keep calling and be like, why don't you pick up your fucking phone, Z?
If I don't recognize the number, I'm not picking you up.
Then he's going to hang up on you. He's going to call you back and be like, what do you want? Dude, he's like, if you fucking hang up on me again, Z, I'll fucking cut your goddamn throat. Nathan, is this you?
No, I'll be like, Mickey?
Oh my god, P1, did you get a call from Mickey today?
I'm just gonna get a caller ID that says Walt Disney. I'm like, oh shit, the mouse is after me.
It's Walt Disney himself.
And yet he'll speak like Mickey.
Mickey's programmed him to talk like him and shit.
He'll be like hell. He'll be like Pinhead and Hellraiser. I'll tell you. Yeah, I'll tear your soul apart.
Yeah. What do you want, Mickey? Your soul.
We could turn Mickey into such a bad guy.
What are you gonna? What is my soul for? Your soul is required in hell. Wait, no. Ghostface all of a sudden. Wait a minute.
To be honest, if I don't recognize the number, I will not pick up. I'll go straight to voicemail.
Okay, so that's yours or mine? That's... is. I already know how mine is.
You're gonna start doing like, what's your favorite scary movie?
You're gonna start fucking with him. Yeah. I don't think it's a chick and shit. No, me, whatever. I'll probably be either free time. Usually, I'm working on some stuff for the site or something like this. I can see me with my either iPad or laptop in my hand. I'm just going. Playing, probably voice chatting as well, and then I hear my phone going like, yeah, hello, P1. Hey, how's it going, man? What's up? What's your favorite scary movie, P1? Let's see, I like The Exorcist. That dude in Scream was kind of a bitch.
you're just trying to twist the knife a little.
Fucking with him and shit, whatever. He's like. Then I'd ask him, so what's your favorite scary movie? I was like, you got kind of a sexy voice back there, too. I like it. Okay, all right, so how you working? Are you going out tonight or anything like that? What if I told you I was on the porch right now? I'd tell you to come right on in. Shit, I got some water right here if you want.
No, you'll be like, what's your favorite porn movie?
I'd tell him Monster. That's my favorite scary movie.
Or you'll be like Randy and Scream 2, Showgirls.
He'd be like, Monster, what the hell is that? Like, giant shit creature comes out the toilet and chases people and shit like that. That's pretty fucking scary right there. I never saw that one. Dude, you gotta check it out. You should come over. Seriously.
Bring over the Ghostface mask and we'll crack over up at a 40. Get some blunt.
40 and shit. I can see him now. He'd be like, what if I told you I'm in the house? I'd be like, well, I hope you got insurance, because if you get your ass looked in my house, nigga, shit. He comes out, he's like jumping, he's like, ah, I'd be like, you got a knife? Really? Really? I lift up my bed, got a bow and arrow, a shotgun, and a
bow and arrow?
Yeah, I'm the only black guy I know that grew up in Compton that know how to use a bow and arrow. So.
Are you Katniss?
Yeah.
Oh.
Exactly, yeah, my dad fucking taught me that shit when I was younger or whatever. I mean, that motherfucker was a weapons expert, so me having them is like, you know, I got fucking samurai swords on my wall and shit, so I'm like, man, dude, you broke into a weapons house, and that's what you have? I'd get up against the wall and be like, oh, if you're going to rank me, go ahead. I pull my pants out. He's like, no, I'm not here at all, dude. That dude would run out of my house. Matter of fact, he would call 911 on me.
But he broke into your house, so it's a win for you.
Hey, 911, this is Ghostface, and you ain't going to believe me, but I just saw some fucked up shit.
Where you at, sir? I'm broken in this guy's house. You what? He's going to rape me.
I know. What I did was wrong. I deserve to get arrested. But this dude is about to rape me right now. I think he roofied my drink.
Be like, please, send a car to pick me up.
Pick me up, whatever.
That was a fun question.
Yeah. I like Z-Zone. He's just like, I wouldn't answer.
I wouldn't answer.
This comment here comes from Jason. The 90s horror movies were terrible. If it wasn't for Scream, who knows where horror would have been. Scream started the teen slasher craze that they tried to do in the 80s. 90s movies are horrible?
90s horror movies?
What was that?
90s horror movies.
Were they?
Well, let me see if I can find a list.
No, I was gonna say, early 90s movies wasn't that bad, right?
Well, we gotta think, you had a lot of stupid, straight, like, Gremlins 2, Jacob's Ladder, Maniac Cop.
I wouldn't even consider Gremlins a fucking horror movie, to be
honest. No.
I think Gremlins 2 kind of went toward the child's brain, whatever.
But they had a lot of stupid horror movies, like Basket Case, Popcorn, you had the nightmare, the new Freddy's Dead, which is, God, terrible. Puppet Master, People Under the Stairs, Critters. But, who said this? Seth?
Jason.
Okay, I was reading the wrong one. Jason's right. If Scream never came, we would be having probably these stupid horror movies.
That's interesting. I didn't know that. I thought there was like at least a couple in the early 90s. Because I'm not too familiar with the 90s horror film, to be honest. I'm an 80s horror film. Oh, and don't forget, Killer's Clowns from Outer Space.
Wasn't that 80s?
Yeah, it was 80s, but I was just throwing that in for the last special we had as far as being one of my favorites, I guess.
Okay.
But, I don't remember too many.
Nothing that stand. I mean, Leprechaun came out in 93. But that
I just thought it was kind of creepy because he had magic.
But it got really ridiculous after that one. Because he went to the hood.
Child's Play came out in the 90s, right?
Late 80s. Child's Play 3 came out in 92 or 93.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, that was bad. Damn, that came out in 93. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I'm looking at some lists, and there's really... It's really, really bad.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. That shit... Bring that up, Jason, because fuck. Jeez, I thought there was at least some good stuff in there or whatever. God damn.
No, I mean...
I thought horror didn't get bad until, like, late 90s, 2000s era.
Well, that's why Scream is, they consider it one of the top horror movies due to the fact that it brought it back. Because I'm looking at some, there's a movie called The Dentist, Dr. Giggles.
I remember The Dentist.
Yeah, with Corbin Bernstein. Jack Frost.
Yeah, Dennis was a fucked up movie.
Remember Jack Frost?
Yeah, I remember Jack Frost, Killer Jack.
Yeah, so
Clown.
Yeah. I mean, Scream came out, and then I Know What You Did Last Summer. Blair Witch came out, I believe, in 99.
I hated that fucking movie. Now that you bring up all these movies, you say Scream brought it back. I gotta say, Scream brought it back and then just left it alone because... Yeah, you going on further with these films? Those films are fucking horrible.
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, I kind of agree.
So Scream was the last one, then. Let's say that. That was the last good one.
Well, then you had, like, what you said, what we said last week, is that I Know What You Did Last Summer, which was pretty much the exact same thing.
Yeah, I didn't care for that film that much. I thought that was pretty...
Besides Jennifer Love Hewitt and Sarah Michelle Gellar.
You know what? I did like, for its own cheesy, campy way, I like the fact... Faculty.
I do like The Faculty. That's actually a very hard movie to find.
When did that come out?
98.
I think it's on Netflix now, dude.
Yeah, I watched it a couple weeks ago, but it's a very hard movie to find.
Yeah, Really? I think at the time I was just a big fan of, like, because that was when I was in school and I hated it. And I was like, what if people were, like, teachers were aliens? I like that concept of it. It was really cool.
But 99, that's kind of when the remake started happening, because you had The Haunting and then House on Haunted Hill. Mm-hmm. Virus, which I think was a remake. Sleepy Hollow, which was a new take on Ichabod Crane, which they're doing a TV show for that now.
What about Hannibal? When did that roll around in those times?
I want to say Hannibal was 2000.
Okay.
But Silence of the Lambs was, I want to say, 90 or 91.
Yeah, I was going to say that was in it, because I know that was a pretty good one, too.
But yeah, if you look at 90s horror movies, it is bad.
Yeah, you really just, I'm glad you're on here, because goddamn, I didn't know all those fucking... I thought at least y'all had a couple of good ones. I mean, Jesus fucking Christ, they only had one.
No, there's probably, I want to say, 5 good ones.
Jesus fucking Christ, that's a goddamn decade and only 5?
Yeah.
But then again, you look at this decade, there ain't really too many of them either.
So no, because they're all remakes. I mean, Strangers and The Purge. Would you consider Purge horror?
No, hell no.
Okay, Strangers, and I think this You're Next, which is coming out in a couple weeks, mm-hmm. I think that's the most original horror that's been for a while. It's not a remake. Which You're Next is kind of a remake, kind of a Strangers a little bit, but...
Yeah, I already said it before, I find horror to be a joke now. I don't take it serious. That's one of my reasons why I don't get scared of it, nor do I care for it anymore. It's a joke now.
Horror is always going to be my favorite genre of, but yeah, 90s horror was just, oh god, terrible.
Jesus Christ, you saying it like it was worse than 2000s horror.
It's 2000s horror is better.
Wow, Jesus Christ.
I'm going to stick by that, 2000 horror is better.
Jesus, I might have to look up my own research now, see now, just put a list together real quick. But
you might, I mean, some of them you probably have seen.
Yeah.
But some of them you probably haven't. I mean, there's like Children of Corn 3, Urban Harvest, or let me see, Pinocchio's Revenge.
Ah, I remember that.
You remember that? Carnosaur.
Yeah, I saw that shit. I remember that. That was pretty fucking funny.
Carnosaur, about dinosaurs.
I never care about fucking horror movies because I always found them to be funny. That's why. They're always fucking hilarious to me.
Yeah.
I laugh at people's misery. I don't know why. I'm a pretty fucked up individual.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, in 99, you had what? Halloween H2O, which I actually like. Deep Rising is actually a fun monster movie, which is a kind of an 80s movie.
Well, we got Sharknado nowadays. So,
I love Sharknado because it's so stupid, but it's fun.
It's like Deep Blue Sea.
But 99, that's where I think torture porn got invented, because they had a movie called Strangeland with that.
That's right. You know what? Because that's right. After Scream, I want to say that's when almost torture porn became a thing where we started worrying about more effects and stuff
yes.
like that.
Yes, because you remember Strangeland, right?
Yeah, I
with
do.
With D. Snyder?
So, yeah, you know what? It hit a new level of horror, what it was. It's more about the blood, gore, and effect. I think they realize people aren't scared of shit nowadays, so we got to amp it up a little more.
Well, 90, and also to 99, that's when Sixth Sense came out, Stigmata, and Stir of Echoes, so you had more of the ghosts, too.
Mystery types.
Mystery types. Yeah. The Mummy, which I don't know why I wouldn't consider that a horror.
That's a horror? What?
That says The Mummy, the one, Brendan Fraser.
You gotta be fucking kidding me. That's a horror?
It's listed on horror, probably because it's scary images.
I'm about to say, but it's scary because it's bad, I guess. But, I didn't hate the first movie.
No, but Lake Placid, Idle Hands, In Dreams, Wishmaster, great movie.
Yeah, I remember that movie.
I think that's when Japanese Ring 2, because it said that was probably Ring U. So yeah, 90s horror, Deep Blue Sea, you know, 90s horror was terrible if it wasn't for Scream. There'd probably be more and more remakes if it was not for Scream.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. Thank you for enlightening us with that or whatever. Next
time. Oh, you're welcome.
I did not know that shit. So, Seth, he says, I have to agree with Z. Scream brought in a new generation to the horror. Yeah, he just showed me. Is Scream, because goddamn, he just named some shit. Is Scream a perfect movie? No, not by far. To Z, it is. Don't tell him that. But it is a great movie to introduce new fans to the world of horror. Scream is 100% different than any of the horror movies. Ghostface was just a normal guy without any powers. Hey, Chucky was a normal guy, sort of.
No, he wasn't. He can transfer his body.
That nigga did voodoo shit, though. I was like, wow. That is what made it so real. I do disagree with TPO, though. I would put Craven on the same level as Romero. Yes, Craven has made some shit, but so has Romero. Craven brought in two franchises and a very underrated movie in Shocker. Romero has done nothing except zombies and the crazy. I was just about to ask you, was there any zombies on the 90s list?
1999, the remake of Living Dead.
That's it?
And then they had the Return of Living Dead, which was like, there was two movies in the 80s. It was kind of like a spin-off of Night of the Living Dead. It's called, like, Return of the Living Dead.
Oh, okay.
But it was nothing to do with the Romero's franchise. But they had one called, it was like 3, and it was very, a girlfriend gets, you know, into some, like, virus that turns into a zombie, and the boyfriend keeps her alive and kind of stays with her.
Wow, so Romero was the only one bringing that zombies at the time, then. Wow.
Yeah, I mean...
I mean, because now we got anybody doing that show. We got anybody. I mean, look on Netflix. There's fucking all kinds of zombie strippers.
Yeah. Have you seen that? Fuck?
Yeah, I have seen that. It's got a porn star in here. Of course I saw it. Come on.
But he's right. But Scream, that Ghostface normal guy, that's what he does to make it real. But look at some of the 80s, like, horrible movies in the 80s that were pretty much like Summer, or not, Sleepaway Camp.
Jaws. Nope.
Jaws, normal things. That's what I think scary is, makes shit look scary. It's normal things.
Jaws, scary as fuck. Hang on.
Arachnophobia.
Oh, yeah, and we already said this. Exorcism.
Yeah.
I mean, it's normal, but you know, it's something that in some people's world can actually happen. I don't know.
I'm not gonna lie. Anaconda, that could actually fucking happen to the killer snake.
It is a killer fucking snake. That snake is as long as they was portraying it in that fucking movie, if not longer. I've seen photos of the shit. I've looked it up before because I know my homegirl, she's scared of the snake. So I was fucking with her and pulling them up, and they had, like, these anacondas eating, like, whole animals and shit like that. I was like, Jesus fucking Christ. So, yeah. I could see that. Got one more comment here?
But before you go that, would you still say Romero's better than Craven?
Yeah.
Because he's right. Shocker is a very good movie.
I love Romero. Romero brought that zombie level, baby. I love zombies.
Well, if he didn't do it, somebody else would have done it.
After the movies you just named off, I highly doubt I highly doubt that. We would have had to wait till fucking World War Z then, apparently, because Jesus fucking Christ.
Or Dead Will Rise 2.
I have heard some negative things about that. But the last comment here comes from, speaking of I'll just get that later. I'll read this last comment because I gotta hurry up and get out of here. But Elizabeth, I like that name, Elizabeth. You give me a call tonight. Act like you Ghostface, okay? I love the chemistry you guys have together. Please do more shows. Nah, this is our last one, honey. Sorry. These Throwback Tuesdays are awesome to listen to, and love the opening and clips thrown in there. It's awesome that you give the fans the voice to pick the movie. Not a lot of podcast shows would do that. Great shows, guys, and I can't wait to listen to more. Thank you, Elizabeth, for the comment, but I'm sorry. This is going to be our last show, so.
No, it's not. I know you're smiling when you're saying that.
I am, actually.
Because you said you have most fun on the show, so.
I smile through every goddamn thing when people's talking. I just smile and whatever. But, yeah, it's our last show, honey. I'm so sorry. But if you feel like you need a live show, you're more than welcome to come to Movie Sports Studios, and I'll give you a live show or something. Okay?
you can feel his mic.
Yeah, exactly. My mic is very loud and out there.
It's very loud?
Yeah, it's very loud.
Oh, okay.
It makes noises. I beat it against a can of the pot.
Is that why you're singing your... Is that why you're getting whipped by Mickey? That big stud?
Hey, I ain't the only one that brings the hits now.
Oh.
Well, this is a good show, man. Hey, I can't wait for next week now.
For a Disney movie, we really pushed the boundary.
Yeah, we really pushed the boundary. It's probably our longest episode as well, and I'm feeling it because I gotta head out of here. But yeah, I'm the phenomenal one. WeSportsPodcast.com, of course.
This is ZEOPodcast.com, and
and one other thing before I say that, before you
cut me off.
I know. I'm sorry. Congratulations to Husky and Butterfly. Announcing he proposed to her on iOpen Podcast Return Show the other day.
He did, and I did not know about it. I didn't listen to it because we know Friday that my site was down, your site was down.
Yeah.
And I was getting pissed. You were pissed.
Yeah, I was getting nervous as fuck. I was like, God damn, dude, let's redo everything else.
So I'm like, I saw him Friday night because we did a little short for Nathan, and I saw a Husky and a Butterfly drive by, and they stopped by, and they're like, you married? I'm like, what? And they're like, yeah, you proposed. I'm like, oh my God, congratulations. I haven't heard the show yet.
Yeah, it's like the last inning because out of nowhere, Husky goes like, these last 2 years been great. And then all I hear is Jordan in the background, oh my God! And I was like, did he? Because I forgot what I was doing. I think I was waxing my bike outside or whatever. Oh. I was taking care of my motorcycle and shit.
You were waxing something.
Yeah, I was waxing something. I was whacking off while I was whacking it. But and I just heard, I was like, damn, he really proposed to her. I was like, on a fucking show! That son of a bitch!
Now you gotta top that.
Yeah, that's why I was like, we gotta make this the best episode ever.
So.
We'll propose and see. End of the show.
You only got Leho. Or Lehu.
Where the fuck his name is these days?
Lehu! Lehu!
Oh, Leo, you own, I own you
now,
bitch. Well, yeah, I'm, of course, I'm
a phenomenal
one once again.
I'm ZEOPodcast.com and TheFanCritic.com.
And we will see you guys next week. Later.
Later.
Let's get down to business to defeat the Huns. Did they send me daughters when I asked for sons? But you can bet before we're through, Mr. I-